It was the kind of a backfill reduction in federal funds, and it terminates at the end of this biennium.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm not arguing against that. I'm just saying, I think if the bill's language was constructed to state what Senator Roberts just said, and thereby a fee for devices that do what you say they do, it may have more success than to delineate a specific piece of equipment with a fee attached to it. But I could be wrong, too.
Representative Johnson.
There is, in the event this gets rough treatment in the House, there is another option that would free up funds to move to deal with this in moving fees that would be used for payment of dental services to fund this maternal child health program. And I believe that we could move a bill through the House that would allocate the revenues from this bill to deal with payment for dental services that's already been proposed, and that would be a second option in the event this fails, and I think it would free up the money that you want in the exact same amount.
Mr. I just want to say, I'm amazed that anybody would think that we can add some more add back to our overburdened critical list in human resources to bring up some $800,000 to cut out some other programs in place of this minimal tax on X-ray equipment. And that item you referred to, I don't think will ever be funded in our budget. We don't have enough money.
Representative Johnson.
I guess there's really, what's at issue is $400,000, as I understand it. The rest is going to fund the actual inspection program. That $400,000, I'm just offering this as an option in the event that it does not pass, it would be considered in...
We'd have to add $800,000 to our add-back list to fund this.
No, he's suggesting $600,000.
Well, I think maybe I'm wrong.
$668,000.
Let's do this.
Art,
let's do it.
Can you? We had a question here about how much would be what if this fee fails. What and you wanted to maintain the maternal and child health program. How much would need to go on the add back list?
$668,000.
Okay. Thank you.
Aren't there other items in the budget that this also covers?
Mr. Chairman, it covers the one X-ray inspector that you mentioned, expansion, $88,000. That puts $127,000 to give him an adequate cash balance for salary increases and other items that they expect during the biennium. But $668,000 is your number, Representative.
Is that right?
Which would need to go on your ad back.
Senator Roberts.
I try to indicate that this is not just restricted to this program. It fills about an $800,000 black hole in the Mental Health Division budget.
Thank you, Senator.
Health Division.
Okay, is there any further discussion on House Bill 2436? We need to call the roll on this, sending 2436 to the floor of the House with a do-pass recommendation.
Representatives Gilmore?
No.
Jones?
No.
Bunn?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Calori?
No.
Shiprack?
No.
Minnis?
Aye.
Co-Chair Van Vliet?
Aye.
Senators Roberts?
Aye.
Hannon?
No.
Trow?
Aye.
Yee?
No.
Kearns?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Co-Chair Bradbury?
Aye.
Does not have enough votes.
Gilmore changes to aye. House Bill 2436, having received the required number, is declared passed. We'll send it to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation. Okay, House Bill 2501, Representative Jones, relating to the Tillamook State Forest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. House Bill 2501 requires the State Parks and Recreation Department and the Forestry Department to develop a comprehensive recreation plan for the Tillamook State Forest. The recreation plan will identify recreational and historic uses, including an interpretive facility, while still maintaining a productive state forest. The plan, including projected implementation costs, will be presented to the next regular legislative session. The Forestry Department will provide funding for the bill from the department's share of revenues received from timber sales on state and county land. The subcommittee amended the bill to add expenditure limitations for two limited duration positions, one FTE, for the Parks Department. The subcommittee also revised the bill to establish the Tillamook Forest Recreation Trust account within an existing trust fund, the Parks Donation Trust Fund. Recommend approval.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hill.
It looks like it would have no effect upon the parks budget we already passed out. This would be additional revenue, correct? An additional expenditure authority.
Is there any further discussion on House Bill 2501? Is there any objection to sending House Bill 2501 to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. House Bill 2579 relating to Oregon Project Independence, Representative Gilmore.
Yeah, you're going to like this one. House Bill 2579, A. Engrossed, as referred to by the Human Resources House Committee, the Joint Ways and Means, allows the Senior and Disabled Services Division to recover costs from Project Independence from estates of deceased clients. All the monies recovered will go directly back to Operation Project Independent programs. The Senior and Disabled Service Division estimates recoveries, how they know I don't, of approximately $105,000. One of the things that needs to be pointed out is that this bill will enable the Senior and Disabled Service Division to be placed eighth on a lien list behind taxes, lawyers, doctors, and hospitals.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hill.
Mr. Chairman, with this, let me get this straight. Clients on OPI, low income, and they pass away.
They don't have to be on low income.
No.
Okay, they could be high income, low income, or an OPI. They pass away. Does the fact that they leave a surviving spouse or a dependent have any effect upon whether the state goes in there and starts rooting around in their assets?
My knowledge, they're behind those. Have to do
that. Well,
no, I guess that's not right.
Representative Bunn.
They are behind the surviving spouse. They're not behind some of the other dependents. They are behind minor disabled dependents and I think minor dependents, but there are some other dependents they're not behind.
What's the limits to what the state can take? When they take the funeral money or what?
Funeral money is ahead.
Yeah, they're ahead on the lien. We're eighth on the list.
Eighth.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair.
Senator, Representative Bunn and then Senator Karen.
I think this is a good example of when we've just gone too far. We suck money out of every nook and cranny and corner, and here we're going to take people from Project Independence and we're going to say to them, you know, as you go into this program, we're now leaning your house. We had this discussion in subcommittee, but I understand the need for money, but I said in subcommittee that in working with my clients, one of the greatest distaste my senior citizen clients had was for this type of program where in order to get the service, they had to give up their right to give some little amount to their kids. And I think it's a bad policy.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, we have Senator Cairns next, and then Senator Roberts.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't disagree that we're getting down to taking the marrow out of the bones when it comes to sucking up revenue. But having said that, the question I have is whether I had not thought about the disabled or mentally or physically challenged adult children of the decedent. Where does the state stand in relationship to
behind?
Are we the state is behind them or ahead of them?
Well, Representative Bunn.
I can stand corrected, but it was my understanding that the adult disabled and mentally incompetent were not protected. That's it was right. Only the minors.
Is that yes, correct?
Oh, oh, okay.
Okay, well, then I'm going to change my vote from where we were in subcommittee.
I'm not positive, but that's my understanding.
Mr. Chair.
Let me just see if we have anybody out in our fiscal staff that has an answer to that question so we can get that clear.
I can give some answer to that question. I ask a question like that in subcommittee, Mr. Chair, co-chair. And the response was from the agency that they would use their discretion and that they would be very careful about doing things like that. That didn't reassure me completely, clearly, but they did say that.
Okay. Senator Roberts and then Senator Hill.
Mr. Chairman, I know that that some issue may be made out of those rare cases in which a senior citizen has a disabled adult child. In the great mass of cases, the individuals that Representative Bunn is talking about, who want to leave something to their children, recognize then that the taxpayers are not contributing to the adult, they're contributing to somebody's children. And I just have a feeling that if an estate is there and that individual has benefited from taxpayers' money but still has an estate which he wants to hand over to a child, let the child contribute to the adult while they're alive instead of the taxpayers. Mm-hmm. We have to recognize that Project Independence has no financial requirement. Anybody can participate, and thank heavens they can.
But there's a sliding scale, and those
and there's a sliding scale.
They pay.
And those who don't have money don't have to pay. Those who have more money do pay part of their cost. Any part that they don't pay, if they have an estate, it seems to me that the estate should pick up that cost, not the taxpayers.
Senator Hill,
a question. Is the $105,000 revenue estimate a gross or a net figure?
I think it's a guesstimate, if you want to know my personal opinion.
Because it's certainly going to cost money to recover these costs, and I would guess it would take at least one FTE, and right there you exceed the cost exceeds the revenue expected to be generated if this is a gross figure.
Art, can you shed some light on this, please?
Mr. Chairman, they testified that in all of the other Medicaid programs the state of Oregon has, they run state claims programs. This is to bring the Oregon Project Independence clients in with the rest of Medicaid. They already have staff that they could add to this, and it would be one additional estate that they could recover funds from. And this is a net that of $105,000 would go back into the OPI program without additional staff.
Senator Perrin.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I don't disagree with Senator Roberts about recognizing and following where the money goes and who's getting the benefit. We think we're doing well for senior citizens when in fact we are maintaining whole the estate of the decedent for them, and they haven't contributed during the life of the senior for the maintenance of it. However, and I supported the senior deferral, tax deferral, which does exactly the same thing. It provides for the lien against the property, and we do recover from the estate of the decedent. However, I'd like to know before we vote if we have in fact, whether if we run this exactly the way we do on the other recovery programs, which I do support because we ought to, whether the incapacitated adult child may maintain the home and benefit from the estate, or whether they stand behind the claim of the state. That's just a straight ahead question. Whether Mr. Wilkerson can answer that or not, I don't know. But I'd like to know the answer to that. My vote is conditioned upon that.
Mr. Chair, I'd say again,
Representative Bunn,
Cliff's question did put that question to him, and they said in effect, They have the legal right to boot that child out, but they would be nice. I mean, that's basically...
Senator Trump.
Thank you.
Right. Senator Trump.
I would approach it from another standpoint, and that's what it might do to the program and the effects of it. My guess is that a whole lot of people who would use this program might be reluctant to use it because of this provision, and would avoid using it, and therefore would not be able to maintain themselves in their home without it. This is a very cost-effective program if you can keep people in their homes. If they can't stay in their homes, then very quickly they will spend down in other ways and cost us a lot more in some more restrictive environment. That's one of the reasons people argue the effectiveness of the OPI program is that it does prevent that from happening in the long run. It's the most cost-effective, even though it's a general fund program. It's the most cost-effective of our programs.
Senator Roberts and then Senator Hill.
Just understand, this is a program which has no financial requirements, and yet the program that has financial requirements has exactly the same provision as provided here. Any costs that were cost to the state, which could be recovered out of the remaining estate, can be collected. So what we're saying is low-income people can have a lien. There is a lien against their property for the benefits they get, but these people who are not necessarily low-income and may have a large estate left, they're immune by the reasoning of this, some of the members of this committee. So you put them all in the same class, and in fact the people who have these incomes ought to be more subject to a lien than the poor people who have very small estates left. But they, under Medicaid, can all be taken.
Senator Hill and then Representative Van Vliet.
This will be the last time I speak. If Senator Trow is correct and this provides a disincentive for even a few people not to participate, and the cost for a nursing home is $22,000 a year, I understand. If this discouraged one person from participating in OPI, and instead they went into a nursing home for 4 years, we've lost the proposed net recovery. Even if it just discourages one person from using OPI, the recovery is so small, $105,000. So I don't see the margin in it.
Representative Van Vliet.
They lose all their money if they go into Medicaid. They don't just lose a little bit.
Mr. Chair, I'll have to refer this to Representative Bunn in the legal, but it seems to me we had a reverse situation several years ago where people were actually transferring their property to their children in order to avoid or get into the system. And consequently, the children came off in pretty good shape. Now, I would imagine anybody with an estate today would probably do the same thing and put their children in ownership of their property, and then the remaining estate, if there's any, would probably is the little bit that's going to be collected off of this. Now, I don't know if we ever changed that at all, Representative Bunn might see if that situation has also occurred and tell us if that...
Well, Mr. Chair...
Representative Bunn.
I can tell you that clients do go to attorneys on a regular basis to explore how they can do that. And that is the way in which, not saying that's been done, but it has been. And the exploration that clients make of that process has shown me the intensity with which they feel about this issue. And if I might, I'd like to address briefly Senator Roberts' concern that we're simply making this even across the board. What I view we're doing is making a bad situation worse, because those people who are currently below that income level, who have their homes affected now, they have very little left. And many of these people will be just above the margin and have very little left. And there is an intense emotionalness about this, that they want some little corner left to their children. And I think the good we do in terms of getting money to others in the state is far outdone by the damage we do there and the damage Senator Hill mentioned on the nursing homes.
Senator Yee.
Mr. Co-Chair, if this bill passes and if money is collected, how do we have, what kind of assurance do we have that the money will go into the program rather than go into the department, which might be used to hire more bureaucrats?
I think the bill specifically dedicates the money back to the Project Independence Fund, but I...
Well, can we have the language in the bill?
Our bill. Line 20 and 21.
Representative Gilmore, do you want to close on 2579?
This is an example where you have six members on the committee and two vote the bill out. Frank and I.
How did it come out?
Frank knows how to count votes.
I love the way my chairman runs his committee. I think in closing, I should mention one thing. I have personally never been through probate court, but it's my understanding that after the period of 1 year, I believe, is a judge has got to sign the order finally putting to rest the deceased. I'm not convinced that in reference to the concern about the adult surviving, that any judge in this county or any county would allow money from the estate to go to senior in services for this project, putting a strain on that surviving child. In closing, I just would mention once again, this is eighth on the lien list behind the funeral home, behind the taxes, behind the doctors, hospitals, and attorneys.
That's a zero fiscal impact.
Okay, let's call the roll on 2579.
Representatives Gilmore?
Aye.
Jones?
No.
Bunn?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Calori?
No.
Shipwreck?
No.
Minnis?
No.
Van Vliet?
Yes.
Senators Roberts?
Aye.
Hannon?
Aye.
Trow?
No.
Yee?
Aye.
Cairns?
No.
Hill?
No.
Co-Chair Bradbury?
Aye. Motion fails.
I tried, Frank.
You done well, kid.
Okay, House Bill 2924, relating to contractors. Representative Calori.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is one that's been worked on throughout the session. It does relate to contractors. In this particular case, it relates to landscaping contractors. They have shared a administrator prior to now. This combines the two of them. I suggest approval.
Any further discussion on House Bill 2924? Is there any objection to sending House Bill 2924 to the floor of the House where they do pass recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. That concludes our agenda. People should be aware that we may have two full committee meetings a week as soon as next week. We don't know yet, but it's possible. Representative Gilmore.
Representative Shipwreck has a report, but before that report, would you let us know 24 hours ahead of time when you're going to drop the 24-hour rule?
I think that's fair.
No, I think you're going to get 1 hour notice of the 24-hour rule. Senator Hill.
We don't want to catch
remind
it.
The Air Factory.
Senator Hill.
Transportation regulation will meet in about 5 minutes.
Okay. Representative Bunn.
Also, the Education Subcommittee will not meet on Monday morning, but it will meet on Tuesday morning.
Okay.
We are meeting Natural Resources on Monday morning.
Yes.
Not today.
Not today.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Representative Shiprock.
Your minority caucus support group from Ways and Means once again met this morning. I wanted to let you know that we met with the head of Associated Oregon Industries to get a view from the private sector, and our plan is rapidly coming together now, and we expect to have a press conference any day to display our plan to lead us out of this session and move the state of Oregon the next 2 years.
Are they willing for more fees?
That's a sparkling report.
Okay, we stand adjourned.